This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
Well, I've already talked to several of you individually, so I know we have a variety of levels here. We have some of you who are just beginning to play hymns and then some who are advanced. So I hope there will be something, you know, in our 25 minutes that that everybody can take away, okay? And obviously, you can take these home with you and play them through. That's why I did it. So one very good thing you can do to make your hymn playing expand. And I think one thing we were talking about, the several of us who were here a little earlier, we were talking about different styles. So there are different styles of hymn playing, and that is a very good thing. My style, I would say, is a little more classically based. From where I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. Uh-huh. But there are different styles. And so I'm going to be teaching basically from how I play, because that's what I know the best. It's definitely not the only way, okay? And I say that up front so you don't think that I think it is, all right? But maybe there's something you can learn from my style that you could incorporate in whatever style you have. So I hope that is the case. And since we don't have the sheet that you fill in, I'm going to just go directly to the hymns that you have. Let's look at Crown Him with Many Crowns first. I do want to point out something that I notice as a general observation, is that you can play meditatively, is that the way to say that? Or, you know, it's something in a grand, majestic style. You know, we have different songs. You want to try to portray whatever words you are playing. If something is, when peace like a river attendeth my way, you probably want to try to portray that in whatever style you're playing and not make when peace like a river, you know, real big. But Lord, haste the day, the last stanza can be very majestic. And so try to portray in your playing for your congregation or for in your offertories, in your prelude, whatever the words are saying. And one thing you want to do is try not to have everything sound the same. If I were to talk like this, and every word I said had the very same emphasis, and I did not rise and fall at all in intensity or volume, and I just talk like this with every syllable having the exact same emphasis, that sounds pretty pedantic. That we can see easily. And singers need to learn to not sing that way, and pianists need to learn not to play that way. So if you're playing, I'll just play When I Survey. Okay, that's very pedantic. When you talk, you usually start a little softer, and then you kind of build a little bit in the middle of your sentence, and then it usually at the end kind of falls off. Now, sometimes if you're making a point, it may be very dramatic at the end, depending on what you're saying. But usually in a sentence, which would be, when I survey the wondrous cross, I would probably say that. It usually has a little bit of rise in the middle of the phrase with volume and intensity, and then usually kind of falls off at the end, and that's called phrasing. So you just think of it that it's kind of an arch like that. So when I play Winners, I Survey, it's a little bit in the way. Oh, you know what? That is so nice of you. I guess it could go on my skirt, but that might be kind of hard. No, that's not going to work. Hey, about maybe like that. It's kind of in my way. Okay. So if I'm playing, is doubling the bass in the left hand and putting the tenor in the right hand. And that is the first way, if you're just learning to play hymns, to make your hymns fuller. not just play the four parts that are in the hymn book, but double the bass in the left hand and put the tenor up in the right hand. Usually it will fall on your thumb, but sometimes the tenor note will come in between the alto and the soprano note. So just put it up there. But you'll have very good chord doubling if you follow that rule. Okay, so where was I going with that? I'm not sure. Okay, I'm just saying that's all I'm doing so far is doubling the bass. I don't have any fill-ins on long notes. But does it sound musical? You can increase how good you sound just by that one little tip, phrase. And don't hit every note the same. Play the words. Okay, another tip is you don't want to attack the keys. Now, if you're playing something big, you know, I'm going to be feeling more into those keys than if I'm just playing whatever. But what you want to do, I kind of explain it as massaging the keys. You want, like, you're kneading bread, you're feeling into the key. And I went to a workshop once with a Russian pianist, and he said in Russia, what they do almost for the first 3 or 4 months of a pianist, as they're beginning a pianist, a very begin learner, you know, child, all they do is feel into the key. So it's like, if I were just playing the melody, I'm trying to get everybody to see me, instead of, I don't hit the key, I feel into it like I'm massaging bread. And plus have phrasing. Do you hear the difference? I'm just feeling into the key. Even if you are playing big, I would not. I'm exaggerating, but I hear that sometimes. It's just like attack, attack. And plus every note gets equal emphasis, and by the time you're listening, you're going, woo, that hurts. Can hurt the ears. So have phrasing and try to feel, even when you play big chords, try not to hit like that, okay? As you get bigger, you are gonna be coming down more. It's not like, you know, and so that happens. Okay, you've got we just have more of the music? Is that what we have?
We now have everyone at range.
Oh, you didn't have that before. Oh, and that's what I didn't start with that. Okay. Okay, any questions so far? I have 25 minutes left. No questions. Good, good, good. Okay, when you get home, I want you to play, because have you ever noticed when, are you okay with that? You're not comfortable, are you? Okay. We could maybe put it on the floor. Hey, how about that?
Oh, there you go.
Hey, thank you. Okay. Okay, I notice, like, when I judge competitions, that I tell them I want dynamic, I contrast as I'm judging, because most people think they have dynamic contrast, but unless you exaggerate it, you don't.
Okay.
They, almost everything is played MF or F. But you want dynamic contrast in your playing, so exaggerate it. You want phrasing in your playing, exaggerate it. Exaggerate it. Go home and practice and tape yourself. Just turn your phone on and listen to yourself and say, do I have phrasing? Do I have dynamic contrast? Am I hitting the keys? Okay, those three things. All right, we're gonna just talk through a little bit of some notes, things you can do. Okay, look at crown him with many crowns. What I mentioned first was a lot of times, okay, what this is, I know it's very confusing. There, what I did, I put on the top line, the top staff system of every page, the hymn out of the hymn book, okay? Then I have variation one,
And it doesn't, it just goes, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 measures, and then it goes to page 2. You know, you'd have to turn the page every 4 measures is what you have to do. And then I have variation 3, variation 2, variation 3, variation 4, and variation 5. And it goes straight across. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, so don't go down from line to line. You'll be off. All right, let me get all the pages out here. Okay, so what I wanted to do for you, and this is probably all we'll have time for, and you can obviously take these home. This, I have 5 different ways you can play this hymn. And one thing I do try to do in my congregational playing is have variety between the stanzas, not play every stanza the same. And I try to do it by the words. If it's a, you'll notice Crown Him the Lord of Love, probably I would use variation number 3, because that's a more meditative type of thing. I don't have these actually by stanza, I don't think. But it, yeah, they're not, definitely. Okay, so Crown Him with Many Crowns. Usually the first stanza is more of a statement, unless it just, you know, unless your song starts very soft and then gets big at the end. Let me say this. Probably a lot of your congregational playing or your prelude might just be very lively and big. So get the people's spirits up, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you probably will have a few songs in your service that are a little more laid back, don't you think? Not everything is big and fast. But you can even get that variety in one song between the stanzas. All right, Crown Him with Many Crowns. If you look at variation number 1, I have the bass doubled in an octave and the tenor up in the right hand, okay? First step. Also, I have a syncopation in the left-hand rhythm. That gives it energy. And another point I wanted to say is, in your playing, try to have energy, even if it's meditative. If I were to play Crown Him the Lord of Life, if I just went very soft, who can tell me what's wrong with this? Anybody?
No phrasing?
Well, very little phrasing. It has no life. I'm playing soft, but it just has, it's dead. Have you ever had somebody tell you a story and then they just told the story, even if they had phrasing, it was just, they'd had no energy. And especially if you get more quiet, sometimes it demands a little more energy. And the cat went into the bedroom. And you get soft. And the cat went into the bedroom. I get real soft, but there is just no energy. So I would say you're playing all the time needs at least an underlying energy. So I just wanted to say that. Okay, so don't be a dead piano player either. Okay, here we go. But this syncopation gives it some life. Okay, that just is one way to do it. Notice that I didn't put the syncopation in the right hand too. I could, but if I were playing it by myself and nobody's singing, I wouldn't. I would probably hold on to the melody at least. I could syncopate the alto and tenor with the bass. God, that's not the right chord. I would probably hold on to the melody and syncopate everything else. That will happen a lot. Okay, let's look at variation number 2. This is another thing you can do. Instead of playing, all the notes together, I'm breaking it up. The alto comes after the tenor and soprano. That is another variation that you can use. Okay, I want to say something. I do have books, in case anybody's interested. I have their improviser books. There are 9 of them. There are books 1, 2, and 3 of the texts. The texts have, keyboard drills and pencil drills that you can fill in the chords. But this teaches you chords. If you don't know your chords well, it would really be helpful in your hymn playing to know them. It teaches intervals, chords, non-harmonic tones. Book 2 goes more into the hymn, different simple fill-ins. Book 3 goes into how you modulate. And there are different ways to modulate. And it goes into it's called the dictionary fill-ins. It gives you quite a few fill-ins that you can use. But we have 3 texts. I have 3 books that are called congregational accompaniments. And those are the hymns in 2 different ways. Like it has one verse played one way and another verse played, but they're only 2 different ways. And then they're put into preludes by theme. So there'd be a theme on the cross. And then there's a little modulation that gets you into the next hymn. So you can use them for preludes. I think it's called congregational accompaniments and preludes or something like that. And then the third book of the Hymnproviser is just solos of meditation. They're pretty intermediate, lower intermediate to intermediate level. So they're pretty easy to work up. If you need a Wednesday night offertory real quickly, or if you're playing for communion, there are a lot of songs on the cross. But there are 33, I believe, hymns in each book. So if you buy all 3, I was just talking about going back to the congregational. I forget how many solos there are in there, but you can look at them. Okay, there are 9 books in all. But they're the textbook, the congregational accompaniments, and then solos that you can buy. I wanted to give this book away, so I'm going to say whoever can answer this question first. Name this. You have to. Okay, Bob, you look. Who raises their hand first? What is the C chord, C triad in first inversion? Name it. Okay?
EGC.
Yep. Wait. Yes, she's right, EGC. Very good. So I all of a sudden my brain went blank. Okay. You win that. I hope that you can use that. Or if you want to trade it for one of the other books, you can. Okay, this book is, I don't know if you're interested in this, but this has a lot of Christmas songs. We have 3 books now out, The Best of Ron Hamilton. I forget how many songs are in each one. Probably about 25 or so. It's very simple accompaniments with the melody and the words of Ron's songs, and it has guitar chords. All right, who came from the farthest? If you think you came from the farthest. Yes. Tampa, Florida, anybody further than that?
Texas City, Texas.
In Ohio, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Armenia.
Where?
Armenia.
She wins. I hope you like that. Okay. And this little book, my goodness, why I don't listen to contemporary Christian music, so. No. A very controversial topic. So, all right, I don't know who to give these to. Who wants one? Okay, that man in the back. Okay, here you go, and that man in the back. Thank you, there you go. That was quick, right? Sorry. All right, where was I going before that? The congregational. Okay, if you buy the congregational accompaniments from the textbook, there are 2 stanzas of each hymn, and you can, what I had my children do, all of our 5 children have played the piano. And still do. Jonathan in heaven. I'm sure he's playing the piano in heaven. So anyway, I had him memorize some of the hymns, you know, and it just, all it did was, you know, you might get to church and you need play a prelude. And maybe you don't know something, but it would just give you a way to play a hymn with fill-ins already worked out for you. If you memorize it, you will always know it. I mean, you may forget a little bit of it, but it will give you, it's just a good way to learn, what do I do with my hands when I'm playing hymns? It gives you one way. Well, it gives you 2 ways, 2 different ways to do it. So if you're just beginning, or even if you know more, I would suggest it because I get in a rut
of the fill-ins I use. So it might give that's a nice fill-in there. And then you can incorporate that. The more tools you can add to your hymn playing for fill-in ideas, it just gives you more variety. So that might be a good something for you. Okay, here, let's look at the variation number 3. I would do this. All it is taking the chord and rolling it. G major. It should have gone to G major. A major. Would I do that in congregational playing? I certainly would. I would. I do a lot of things in my congregational playing. And your singers, your congregation's going to sing like you play. If you play something, I just notice that a lot. If I hold back, they hold back. And if you're playing for a congregation, you want excitement, you need to be very confident. That means if you're not confident, practice before you get there, whatever the hymns are. So you're very confident, you play out with confidence, and you play phrasing so that they phrase. They will imitate you. They really will. But if I could do this style up, you know, the style number 2, variation number 2, up in an upper register. I could do that. That gives me a variety. Or just very simple. Even down, I could do that. Variation 3 down. Do you see what I'm saying? It just, all I'm doing is the chords that are there up above, but rolling them. Doubling the bass, putting the tenor in the right hand, and rolling the chord. Look at variation 5, or variation 4. This is a little bit bigger. Bigger. I'm using octaves, and you want to use your, you want, as a pianist, you want to get to where. When you're just beginning, you can't do it very easily, because once you get up here, you got to know where to come back down. And sometimes that's hard. And you got to get used to it and practice that. But you want to use your piano extremities. Okay, so you're not always playing the same register. I don't want all my hymns to be down here, right here in the mid register. And I don't want them to all be up here. And I don't want to play with a vast expanse. I don't play like that. Maybe if I'm playing with a congregation, I've got some other pianos going at the same time, I might. But if I were playing a prelude by myself, you're leaving a big hole in the middle of your playing. So I just wouldn't keep it like that. You could start out like that, but then bring it back. So what I'm just saying is, don't stay in one register. Try to use the extremities of your piano. Okay. Let me just explain to you measure 2, what that is. I'm sure you all already use this. Look at When I Survey. You have that, right? Look at When I Survey. That's easier to see. I can find it. I don't know what you go to. I did. Look at variation 1 of When I Survey on the first page, measure 4. You probably already use this fill-in. So if I'm going, I might fill in bass notes, you know, in between bass notes, I might do some fill-ins, some. Have you heard that fill-in? All it is, I have a long note on the F chord, measure 4. It's a F major chord. What, spell F chord? F-A-C. So I can start on the C and then go up. And that's my next melody note, right? On. So it just fills in, and that is a common fill-in to use if you have a long note on one chord and the next chord is the same one chord, you know.
So what I just want to explain something to you. If you look at beat two, if you look at the outer notes of the pinky in the left hand is a C, right? The alto lowest note is a C, and my upper note is a C. Okay, I've got three C's. I can just play those notes and go on up. I could do that. You know, I've got an octave melody here and a single note melody here, and I'm doing a melody lead in, kind of like that. I could play the whole thing like that, couldn't I? I could do that. But what I want you to see is if I take those same notes, C, 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 we're on an F chord. I can fill in a triad in my left hand and a four note chord in my right hand. It's all F. Do you see that? Beat two is all a F chord. C, it's a C melody. I've got it in my pinky, I've got it in my thumb, and I've got it in my right hand pinky. But I fill in the chord, whatever the chord is, on the strong beats. I don't put a chord on every beat, especially not the eighth notes in between the strong beats. You know, so, but I could play the whole hymn like that. I call them, and they're in the Hymnprovisor explained, triple melody chords. That means that's because there are three melody notes, and then you fill in the chord beside it. There's always a triad here and a four note chord here. I could play the whole hymn like that. Triple melody notes, G minor, D major, G minor. See what? It's triple melody. I use them a lot to get up in the upper register. I use them a lot. And a lot of times they're not right together. I will put an octave between my left hand and right hand. Instead of here, I have that. See that? There's an octave and it's even fuller. It sounds bigger than just right here. But that's a triple melody. Okay, I did want to explain that to you. Okay, let's go back to Crown Hymn. I want to explain something there. Any questions, you just interrupt me. Was that clear, kind of? Okay, look at variation 5. You could only use this variation if you have like another piano going or an organ or an orchestra. If you had an orchestra filling out the chords, you know? If you just had violins playing in the upper register, I wouldn't use this because we would have all upper register. But if you have a string bass and a cello, or trombones and a tuba, some low brass or strings filling in the lower register, or another piano. Another piano could just be playing, they could be playing variation 1. You could do variation 5. You know, but you have to have something holding it all together and being the backdrop. What this is, I'm sure, do you all do running octaves in your playing? So, like, whatever, you know, you could do running octaves just in your left hand. All this is doing running octaves in both hands. But I would have to have, you know, another instrument filling in. But all it is... I look at the bass line, and whatever I would do with running octaves, I do it in my upper register, you know, with doubled octaves. And I love it for a last stanza of a hymn. I love it. Like if you're on the road and you have an organ that would be playing out, you could do that on a last stanza. But isn't it nice? It's brilliant. You're using the upper register of the piano is brilliant. It's got ping, and you know, this has got low. Like that, but it's got a nice brilliance. And when you do those double octaves, it just makes congregational singing just come alive, I think. But you've got to have a good support under you. Any questions about that? Okay, let's look at when I survey, let me see if there's anything else I want to tell you. Okay, this particular, what I gave you, just so you know, is from our Rejoice hymn book. We have it, we have in our Rejoice hymn book, and I mentioned this, I have something else. Can you get those out of my purse? I don't care that you're in my purse. Okay. A lot of guys don't want to get in a girl's purse. you could help him. Okay, these are sampler CDs. I don't have enough for everyone. How many of you would like one? What it is, it's got Look Up. It's our new choral book. It's got all of Look Up on it. And then it's got, like, I think three octavos. My Hope is Jesus, I think Season of Light from our Christmas cantata. And then it's got, we have a new children's choir book out that has eight seasonal programs in it, you know, like Father's Day, Mother's Day, Patriotic, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that. It has short programs and a song to go, a song or two to go with each program. So what we did, we put some, how many, did we give them all out? Okay, there are more at our table if you want one, okay? But the purpose of it is, if you're on our mailing list, we're gonna mail you one in a week or two.
There's one up
the grass here. Okay, anybody else want it? Right there. It's just a sampler of some of the choral stuff. And to let you know, I know there's just so much to get in 35 minutes, is that we do have downloads now, that if you want to do, say, Rejoice in the Lord, we have it in four part on a digital download. So you can go to Majesty Music website and for $1.85, I think it is, order, you know, how many copies you need printed. Like if you have a piano, organist, conductor, they would need it. And so you print, you know, you order as many as you need printed copies to stay within the copyright law. And then you, if you have a CCLI license at your church, you can put the words in your bulletin or up on PowerPoint and teach it to your people. So what this does, if you don't have a Rejoice hymn book, which a lot of churches have bought the Rejoice hymn book just because there are so many new songs in it, and they just buy it for their conductor, because they can't buy it for their whole church. They buy it for their director and their accompanist and their orchestra or whoever accompanies. It's because you need one copy. You can't be printing, you know, that's illegal. To print, you know, a copy of the hymn, but get it for whoever needs the music, and then just put the PowerPoint lyrics up and report it to CCLI. And you can get a lot of new songs in your congregation that way. Or you can get just the Rejoice hymn book, or go to our down, you know, there are other companies that have the same thing, that if you can't afford to buy a hymn book for your congregation, just do that. And that gives them some new music, because you want some new music. Mm-hmm. For your congregations. And I love old hymns too. I love gospel songs. I love all of it. But it just is nice to have a variety of new and older music. My poor brain has gotten really bad. Okay, so what I was gonna say is When I Survey is from the Rejoice hymn book. We do have last stanza settings in the hymn book. And a lot of churches do that. They just get it for their accompanist. What it does, it modulates up for the last stanza and gives different chord progressions than just the normal hymn. And you tell the congregation to sing unison. So they can do that with PowerPoint. They can look at their hymn book, in fact, and your accompanist could be using the Rejoice hymn book. Everybody modulates up, you know, in the congregation, and just say, everyone sing unison. And it's a very nice, especially Sunday morning worship idea. Yes?
Did you have the answers to some of these?
I did, but you didn't get them till late, and I couldn't get through everything.
Okay, so just you
ran. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, we only had 30 minutes, and we didn't have these at the beginning, and so I didn't go there. I started with the music. I didn't know what to do. That was my plan B. I'm sorry about that. But I tried to just explain a lot of stuff that's on there. But anyway, this When I Survey that I gave you, I think it has two stanzas in F, and then it goes to minor. It goes to a minor key for C, from his head, his hands, his feet, to picture that. And your congregation automatically will do it if your accompanists do it. They just can sing in a minor key. It's amazing. They just follow. It's easy to do. And then the last stanza is big. And I use in the left hand, just so you know, it's a good accompaniment idea, is a pedal. A pedal tone is using either the root of the 1 or 5 chord, no matter what is what chord's up above it. So like, it's just using up one of the pedals, or I could use the 5. It's a non-harmonic tone because sometimes it blends with the chord, sometimes it doesn't. But because you're repeating it over and over, your brain tells you that it fits. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's a nice, but I think we use that on this. I think we use both, 1 and 5, 1 and 5. Just going back and forth to make the last stanza big. Okay, so that's for you, and I hope you learned something. Okay, yes.
I have a question.